All right, welcome to the Window Cleaning Success Podcast. My name is John Stevenson, and I am with Tyrone of City View Services, and I am really excited to kind of dive in. Tyrone's he's a leader in this industry, and he has built up his window cleaning and power washing company, has had tremendous growth. And so I guess just to kind of start out with, Tyrone, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your business? Now, how long you've been around, approximate revenue, trucks, employees, services that you offer?
Okay, perfect. So as John mentioned, my name is Tyrone. I reside in the Northwest Arkansas area, particularly in a city called Fort Smith. Our population here is around 100,000. We service about a 30-mile radius of our town. Up until recently, we're the second largest city in Arkansas, right out just behind Little Rock. And I think we just got passed up by a town called Fayetteville, which is about 45 minutes north of here.
You guys service that too, don't you?
That is in the works. We currently do not have a huge presence there. Okay. Every now and then we'll go up there, but that is the goal. Fayetteville, that area, the Bentonville, Arkansas area, is the home and world headquarters to Walmart. So there's a lot of growth there, a lot of new money, some old money. It's also the headquarters to Tyson Foods. You guys probably know about Tyson chicken and all that type of stuff. A lot of potential up there. So not yet, but we're headed that way. But we've experienced, as John mentioned, we've experienced a good amount of growth here. My company is 13 years old. This month, actually next
Congrats.
Month.
That's awesome.
And we currently have about 7 employees that consist of technicians, an administrator, myself. We have a territory manager, which is a fancy name for a salesperson. we also have an operations coordinator. This year, we're on track to doing about 500,000, about half a mil. Hopefully we can hit that number. And so just really delighted to be on this podcast and share any vital information with you that can help you and your business. And if you're new to the business or wanting to get into the business, hopefully I can inspire you in that regard as well.
Oh, you will. Absolutely. So you got started 13 years ago. How did you get started?
Well, I have no experience in the cleaning industry outside of, my mom making me clean my bedroom growing up. But seriously, before this business, I was a painter. I had a small curb painting service where I would just go around by myself and paint reflective addresses on residential street curbs. And so, I was doing that for a gentleman, and we were just kind of brainstorming and talking about business ideas. And he said, you know what would be really good for our area? Because this guy came from Chicago, and he said some of his buddies up in Chicago or some folks that he knew had a lot of success cleaning windows. He said, you should look into that. And I was open to it. And I didn't tell him for a long time, but I began to research and I kept it to myself. And I found some folks online that had some resources that could really help me. So I began to buy and stockpile supplies and put them in stores and just slowly created a window cleaning business.
Well, how did you get your first customers? Like, did you knock door to door or how did you actually start getting the revenue in the beginning?
Okay. So what I did was I actually bought a kit online. It was like how to start a residential window cleaning company. It was one of those type of deals. And so within that kit, I mean, it was like this thick, it was like 100 pages. The internet was around 14 years ago. But this thing was like a manual, like a little dictionary with, table of contents. So within that dictionary style manual, they had protocol for getting brand new customers. So one thing that I did was the budget was very restricted back then. So
mostly is for all of us. Most of us that start out in this business, it's boots on the ground. Most of us don't have hardly any money to start out with. I mean, when I started out with my company, I started out with like $40 in like materials, mm-hmm. and I was knocking doors.
Yes.
I think most of the people that are listening to this can probably relate to that.
Very common, very common. And, every great business has a story like that. You know, you start and you just put the pieces of the puzzle together. And so it's a journey, but it's a fun journey. And so to answer your question, I started out by getting a pack of 500 pieces of paper, eight and a half by 11. You get 500 of those and I used the colored paper. I think it was like light blue. And I had a special flyer that I used from the kit that I received. And I kind of custom made it and changed the name, changed the number. I didn't even have a website back then. And I would just see, I was already used to tagging doors from my curb painting business. So I would just go to certain neighborhoods and I would just tape those flyers to the door. I would do hundreds of them. I literally feel like I've walked to everybody's front yard in my whole city. Like, that's how aggressive I was with it. And the response just started flooding in.
Do you know what it was like percentage wise by chance? You remember like typically you get 1-3% response rate. Did you have a higher than that, or what did you?
I would say it would be on the high end, probably 3%, because and it also depends on the amount of competition you have in your area too.
Yeah.
I happen to be in an area that did not have a high competition, but the demand was great. So I think I did very well just because there wasn't a whole lot of people doing that.
Yeah. So then I know we've talked about this before. Your ideal customer, I believe, is just mostly affluent. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. We definitely target those upper end, high income neighborhoods. We never hardly ever advertise in, low income areas or, areas where there's multifamily apartments or people that rent. It's just not, a waste of time and money.
So how do you target them? Like, what's your USP? Like, how do you sell yourself to this type of clientele? Because obviously we talk differently to people who are wealthy, who have money, because they care about things differently than maybe someone who's just looking to save a buck. Like, how what's your USP that you use to kind of set yourself apart?
My unique selling proposition. To be perfectly honest with you, all these years later, that is something that I still need to define, our unique selling proposition. I've been asked that before.
Yeah.
And to be totally transparent with you, I don't have an elevator pitch for that. Like, I don't know exactly what our USP is. I just firmly believe in, delivering an outstanding service experience, giving people their money's worth. We're not the cheapest in town. In fact, we don't even want to be. There's guys that will do what we do for less money.
Yeah.
But one thing about it is, here's how I think that we separated ourselves from the competition.
And here's one thing. I know you're going to just want to interject real quick. The fact that you say you're not the cheapest is a unique selling proposition in my eyes, because I would tell people that I would tell people that all day long. It says, the next guy that's going to call you, he's going to be more expensive than me. Just to know, he will charge you more. But I promise you, you're going to love our work better. I pay my guys more. They're with me longer. They'll do a better job. We're not the cheapest, but I promise you're going to love our work. And that literally rings in their ears. And so when the next guy does quote them something cheaper, they're like, I kind of like the price, but I don't mind spending an extra $100 to get it done right. Right. Because they remember that. So I just want to point that out, because I think that's, a lot of us may shy away from that, but that is unique. The fact that we want to charge more because we want to give them a better service.
Absolutely. It takes a while. It took me a while. I mean, you might not be this way, and our listeners might not be this way, but it actually did take me a while to realize that I wasn't getting paid my worth. You know, I work really hard, and generally speaking, you know, we have a problem charging high prices because we feel like, well, we're going to, you know, push customers away. But now I would rather charge a high price to get less customers than to charge a cheap price and do a lot more work.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. And your profitability is higher. You're instead of trying to fit a bunch of low cost, low profit jobs in a day, you can have one or two jobs that are big tickets. And so there's less driving. You're making more money. Your guys are making more money. Mm-hmm. Are you still doing, I'm just curious, 13 years later, are you still doing postcards? Are you doing it? What types of advertising are you leaning into right now?
Yeah, I love postcards, particularly because a company out of Clearwater, Florida called Postcard Mania has made it really cool, really sexy, really affordable, really, really important. Okay. Prior to linking up with Postcard Mania, and by the way, they are the experts. I'm kind of throwing a tag out there for them, but they are the experts in postcard marketing. They have taught me so much. And I would have to say that my business growth has been a result of dealing with them. I'm just grateful to them. And I've actually been to their facility because they every year, twice a year, they hold a growth summit. This is a that company is a $50 million annual revenue company. And so they teach you everything. They're the best. They're the best marketing company I've ever even heard of. And they don't just strictly focus on postcards. Let me just say that. But that is their main deal. They built their own company through postcard marketing. And so, yes, over the years, I've sent out hundreds and thousands of postcards through them because they have a marketing consultant that will ask you questions to learn about your business. And then they'll build a campaign for you that will serve you well.
And would it be safe to say that that is the bulk of your marketing spend is with Postcard Mania?
Right now, I've got that on hold.
Is it just because you got too much work?
We're flooded with work.
I know you've been super busy lately.
We're super busy. And then, with the way the economy's going and the hiring situation, we've been kind of struggling with hiring the right people and retaining them. So I kind of put that on pause. Plus, when I met you and you gave me some information about Home Advisor and Angie Leads, some of the things that you have taught me has also boosted our leads. We've gotten a lot of leads from that. So with the combination of that, we just kind of decided to put the postcards on hold for a minute. But it is, I think if you get the right target, if you target the right audience with the postcards, you get the right mailing lists. And by the way, Postcard Mania will help you with all that. You get the right artwork on your postcard, front, back, and do all the things they say, because they will teach you. You can go to their website and even look this up. What are the 10 elements that an effective postcard must have on it? Well, they'll teach you clearly that you got to have 10 things, and they'll list them for you. You know, the logo, the callback number, return address, you know, colors that pop, a bold heading, you know, the information needs to flow. All those things, if you get it built right and you send it to the right people repetitiously, the phone will ring. We also had some little, we call them clip flyers. It's like a rectangular flyer that's about, I don't know, 3x8. It's like a club flyer. We have those printed on both sides, and then we fold them in half and we put a clip on the end of it, and we just fill up a big tub of those. 500 will fit in one plastic tub. And if you put that tub in your passenger seat and you ride around through these awesome neighborhoods, you can fling them out your passenger window and they'll fly for 10, 15 feet, and you can make it to where they'll drop and land right by the mailbox. This awesome flyer will definitely get picked up on their way to check their mail. And we've generated a bunch of business with that.
You know, it's funny because we got something similar that to that here in Vegas. A lot of times people will put their business cards in a little Ziploc, and like 50 of them, and they'll throw them. And they usually each of them have like some type of coupon deal or whatever, but they'll throw them and they'll get tons of work that way too. I think the fact of having something in front of you and like, I think that's why yard signs work so well, because they're physical presence. And of course, obviously when people pull in to their yard, to their driveway, or when they, like you said, when they're going out to the mailbox, they have to pick it up, they have to read it. And so you will have a certain response rate on that. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask you, as far as a follow-up question on the postcards, what kind of ROI have you seen from it? Like if you spend $2,000 on postcards, how much did you get back from it? Did you keep track of that?
I don't have exact numbers for you, but I would say, excuse me?
Just approximates.
Yeah. I would say if I spent $2,000, and by the way, that $2,000 would include the printing of the postcard. It would probably include purchasing a mailing list that you can use over and over with, you know, a list of names and addresses for your specific market that you want to target. It would also include labeling them and addressing those postcards once they're printed. So just to be clear, that $2,000 would get all of that, and they would mail them for you. And it would also include the postage. Okay. So, because, you know, when you mail out a certain amount of postcards, you get a bulk rate. It's not the average 50-cent stamp rate. You get a certain bulk rate. I think it's like 29 cent. It drops to 29 cent. So, and I just say that just for our listeners that might not be familiar with that program, but, and I had to learn, it was a learning process for me.
Yeah. I mean, you can go to the post office and get a bulk mail permit and you use that, and they'll either use that or they'll use their own bulk mail permit number.
Yes. It's been I don't have my own. It's been my experience that the Postcard Mania, they have one. They put a little indicia, like a little barcode on there, and they use their own. Yep. So the $2,000 will probably get me $8,000 or more back.
So $8,000, that's awesome. So you literally spend $2 to get $8 back every time.
I would say so.
And these are new customers that will be repeat. So if you did this once a month, you'd be able to build a $100,000 business in a year. I mean, you'd be doing $100,000 in a year, and you'd have a percentage of those that would repeat, and you just keep stacking that. Literally, if you just use that one method over and over and over, you'd be able to build a multi-million dollar company.
And you know what? Postcard, you're absolutely right. Postcard Mania has case studies for each industry. I don't care if you're a nail tech, you're a painter, a carpenter, a dentist. They have case studies for each industry, and they are proven over and over to provide results just like what I mentioned. And I wouldn't use anybody else other than Postcard Mania, because they're on top. They're at the top of the game. And if you build the postcard wrong, and if it's not done right, then though you can't expect those results.
Yeah,
they're the pros, and I've really taken an interest in all the knowledge that they've put out there for me. And by the way, I want to say this too. Since we're talking about postcards, and I'm a fan of Postcard Mania. If nothing else, go to their website and at least sign up for their free emails. You will learn a lot about marketing in general, not just postcards. Look, for the first 5 years, I never spent a dime with Postcard Mania. I just got those free emails and I was learning, because they're really good at marketing. They don't just send like once every 3 months. They'll send like one every 3 days. Yep. And it's all golden nuggets, because they are marketing geniuses, I promise you. So all of you guys out there, go sign up for that. Just put your email address in there and your name. They don't need your phone number. Just go in there, hit them up, and let them shower you with knowledge that you will need.
Thank you. Thank you for that. You know, it's really what it is a swipe and deploy method. If you find something that's working, you can swipe it and you can deploy it with all your other own marketing efforts. It's a lot easier to do that rather than reinvent the wheel. And when you got someone that already knows how to do it, it saves you a lot of time and effort and a lot of money too. So on the flip side, I guess my question would be, is what marketing efforts have you used, Tyrone, that you've stopped because it didn't work?
Okay. So our local movie theater has these little flyer type things that sit on the counters by the popcorn, salt, and all that.
Yeah.
And these local businesses throw their ads in there, and that's a waste of money. I definitely wouldn't encourage you to go. I did that and I stopped it immediately. There's nobody calling off that. You know, there's a local pizza place that we have here. They have one of those big boards by the front door with everybody putting their little business cards up there. I stay away from those. They just get drowned in all the other business cards. I'm not a fan of that. I would say radio is a no-no. I would say that and you got to remember, I haven't made a whole lot of mistakes in marketing because I learned like from the gate, out the gate. I learned from someone that had been in the business a long time. So I've only implemented those types of things. And here's another one that I've done that I don't think really works. The football programs and the sporting programs, every now and then you'll get hit up by these high schools and say, hey, we're putting together our football program. You want to buy a page? I would say no.
Yeah.
Over the years, I have advertised in the yellow pages, and I have a half inch ad in the yellow pages. Those have generated a lot of money because there's still a lot of our old school retired customers that don't mess with the internet. They still.
That's right. They do. Regardless of what some of us believe in our personal habits, you're right. We have that generation that still read the phone book, still read the newspaper, the physical copy. When you talked about some of the, it just reminded me of some of the things that I did that didn't work. During the pandemic, when I had my window cleaning company in Vegas, I spent some money on a billboard. And it was a huge billboard. I just says got dirty windows, and it had a big old smiley picture of me with my squeegee, and I had a big phone number, get your windows cleaned. And I was thinking, oh, this is a slam dunk. There's 140,000 cars that pass us every day. This is gonna be great. Wow. So I spent $6,000 on this billboard, and that was a deal. You know, I was getting $1,000 a month, which was a deal. And the only reason I got it is because of the pandemic. And that's why I did it during, I'm sorry, not the pandemic, the recession. This is back in 2011. So did that, spent $6,000, made $3,000.
Okay.
And you talked about putting stuff in movie theaters and you can put stuff in shopping carts too. There's so many different things you can do. Or, put things on some of the boards, where everyone puts their business card, but you can't measure it. It's not direct marketing. And I mean, I've even put some of my ads that, I don't know if you guys have these in where you're at, but we had ads on over urinals, believe it or not, all over Vegas. And so I had a guy approach me, and basically we knew that we'd have people's undivided attention for at least 30 seconds.
Right.
So you got the ad right there in front of them. Uh-huh. And I was trying everything. And so I did get a couple from that, but it's hard. It is hard to measure profitability, ROI from these things. So when you're sending out a postcard, you have it dialed in. You know how much to expect from that investment. You know your numbers, so literally you can go replicate that in another neighborhood or another city and expect the same return.
Can I say something about that? So yeah. Working with Postcard Mania has been an absolute pleasure for the reasons that you just described. First of all, there's two or three points I want to make. When they build a campaign for you, first of all, Postcard Mania, they track everything. They are experts at tracking numbers. When they build a postcard for you, they will give you a special phone number on that postcard. So, for example, my phone number is, my area code, and then it's 242 View.
Yeah.
That's what's on all our uniforms, our building, our vehicles, our yard signs.
You got to have a tracking number. Yeah.
But that's our number. But when I built a campaign through Postcard Mania, they gave me a separate number.
Yeah.
It has my same area code, but it is a number that the customer calls, and the conversations are recorded, and it tracks everything. So you can actually see through your back dashboard and your online website, or what do you call that? When you log into your profile, your Postcard Mania profile, yeah, you can track everything.
Yeah, you can see because literally when people call that number, they'll be able to track. Obviously, the only people that have that number are the people that get the postcards. And then you can do the same thing for a web page. There's a certain type of landing page that they go to. You'll be able to measure that as well. Yes. And, you know, I've done that with a number of my marketing plates. You know, you spin different plates, but you assign a different number to each one of them.
Okay.
Because that way, if you don't track them, you don't know which one to stop and you don't know which one to scale.
Okay.
So that's awesome that you have that set up, and you're in a good position where you can actually have too much work where you have to turn it off. That's a pretty good problem to have.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that I really want to brag about. I don't like turning off work.
Well, none of us do, but obviously once you get things dialed in with employees, you're going to be able to turn that on, just turn on the money.
Yeah, that's a big headache for me. The employees tends to be the area where we need a lot of room for improvement. And then, of course, you know, I just have to be real transparent here. The administrative side of things is kind of where my weakest area is, you know, tracking things. You know, you ask me questions that I can't truthfully answer, you know, like, what was your ROI on sending out to, like, I have an idea, but I have not dialed in on those exact numbers yet. And that's an area that we really need to improve. A lot of that comes from just me just being tied up doing a lot of other things, putting out fires, dealing with employees. We have not yet developed the systems to track all these things, which it does need to be tracked. Absolutely. It's hard to grow something that is not tracked.
Yeah.
You know.
So do you use any social media marketing at all?
Yes, we use Facebook. We have an Instagram page as well.
Do you share like what jobs you're doing and have people like, do people actually get on there and ask you to give them a quote and ask you to come over? And
Yes. We have had that happen. I'm not real active posting that. I actually hired a lady. She offered us a social media package where she was going in there posting every day for us. We gave her access to our administration page. So she kind of took over that. But I didn't feel like I was getting my money's worth. Like I wanted her to post every single day, a couple times a day. I thought that's what I was getting. So basically I ended up firing her because, she just wasn't doing that consistently. That's what I need if I'm going to do that.
Yep,
I didn't have time to do it.
You got to get a return on that. And if you're not, then you can't, you got to cut it.
Yeah.
What about online reviews? Do you have any special initiatives, any ways, special tricks that you want to share as far as people that are struggling that want reviews, but they're not sure how to get them?
The only tricks and tips as far as that goes is what I've learned from you. You need to ask for those reviews. You need to ask for those 5-star Google reviews. And it's just, as far as I know, it's just a matter of asking. You know, if you ask enough people, then they, especially on the spot, like as soon as a job is completed, well done, you're doing the billing and the invoicing, I think that's a perfect opportunity to walk them through logging in and giving you a great online review.
You know, the thing I like about businesses is most businesses have a Gmail account because they have a Google My Business account. And so naturally they're usually logged in already on their phones. And so that's why, and you've seen this in my trainings, where you can literally go out and get 50 reviews a week by going out and doing some free services. So obviously in window cleaning, I went out and grab some, I just go to a storefront and say, hey, let me wash your windows for free. All I want is a review. That's it. And you cool with that? And they're like, oh yeah, yeah. So I wash their windows, I do the outside windows plus the inside of the door. So just make sure everything looked nice. I'd walk in and say, hey, thank you so much. you mind if I just pull that up for you real quick, just make it easy for you? And they're like, oh yeah, sure, thanks. So I'll grab their phone and I would literally type in Window Agency Reno. And it would pull it up. And obviously their phone would automatically, I would say 9 times out of 10, would already be logged in. And I click review, click 5 stars. And then from there, I would hand it back to them and say, you can write whatever, or you can click submit. It doesn't matter to me. And so sometimes they just write a quick snippet or they just click submit. I'd watch them do it. And the nice thing about that is that review never falls off. It's geo-based and it's based off of their phone, not mine. And so that review will never be lost. Whereas a lot of other marketing methods for getting reviews, Google will penalize. That is a way they can't penalize because it's coming from individual IP addresses, individual phones.
You know, I forgot about that. That is a fantastic idea. How many times a week did you do that?
I got 50 reviews in a week. So literally I had 5 free cleanings, which takes what, an hour? And these are simple storefronts. And literally you can build up a company, make the company look old, and it could be a fresh company that's only a month old. And all of a sudden you can overtake your competitors' reviews and they have no idea how you did it. And you did it honestly. So you said really did the work.
5 cleanings. So let me get this right. 5 cleanings a week for what length of time?
5 cleanings a day. So I'll literally knock on like 10 or 15 storefronts and say, hey, let me wash your windows in return for a review. That's all I want. And they're totally okay. Cool with that. And typically a storefront window cleaning for just the outside windows plus the inside of the door, I'm talking a typical 8 panes of glass. I can bust through that in 5 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes most.
Did you use a Petra or you use the traditional method?
Just traditional. Yeah, I'm using a pole for all the tops and I'll just go through real fast on the middle and bottoms.
And there's also a chance that you'll get that customer for life.
Oh, yeah. And that's exactly. That's the thing is I'm not asking for their business, but at the end, after I get the review, I'll say, hey, here's a flyer. If you ever want the work done on a regular basis, we'd love to take care of you. Or if they just love it, I just might just sign them up right then and say, hey, you know what? Let's start this up. Every 2 weeks, we'll do it for this price.
Beautiful.
But it's,
I'll tell you, man, my commercial storefront business has taken off as a result of connecting with you. I mean, your curriculum works. I promise you. As I'm looking out the window, you guys can't see, but as I'm looking out the window, my technicians are pulling back in from a hard day's work, and they absolutely love the Petra. I just left a job site before this podcast started. I just left a job site where they were over there using it, and I have like 2 or 3 new technicians, and it's just so easy to teach them that, and So
that's awesome.
Thank you.
So your current client base, obviously it's growing. Are you marketing to them individually? Like, do you send your current clients like a postcard every 6 months saying, hey, time for service? Do you send them, do you do email marketing? Like, what do you do? Like current client base, like just nurturing, like repeat.
Yeah. So the only thing that I have really done consistently, and let me just say this. So every company, every good company needs 4 divisions, 4 legs. You need your sales department. And this is stuff that you grow into. In the beginning, you're probably going to be all of these things, just you wearing all the hats. But eventually, you're going to need a sales department that specializes in sales, which is converting prospects and suspects into paying customers. You know, people that go out and do the estimates when you get calls. You're going to need a marketing department, which is basically getting attention, whether it be social media, whether it be postcards, whether it be billboards, whether it be all the ways you get attention, right? And then you're going to need the operations department, which is basically the people that serve the customers, you know, our technicians, our people that do the cleanings, okay? And then, of course, last but not least, you need the administrative department that tracks the numbers. They handle the payroll. They keep score. You can't win a game unless you really keep score.
Yeah.
So with that being said, John, we do not officially have a marketing department yet or a person that's devoted to just marketing. So it's really very inconsistent with us right now.
Are your current clients, I mean, how do they just call and reschedule whenever they want to? Is that how it's working right now?
That's really how it's working right now. It's a problem that I want to fix. As soon as I get my sales team lined out, I will be focusing on that.
So one thing I want to throw in here, have you ever heard of text magic?
No.
Anyone who's listening to this, write that down. Text magic. You literally can feed your database into it. And if you want to just fill up your schedule and you want to do deals once a month, send a text message. Literally, you can feed it all in. I know people that fill up their schedules for weeks for this from their current customer list. And so literally you could say, all right, I can spend $2,000 and make $8,000 to $10,000 this month, but I really don't want to spend any money at all right now, but I have this huge customer database. Maybe I'll just go cheap and I'll just send a text real quick and see if I can grab $10,000 in business. Like literally, if you have, you probably have several hundred customers, I would say out of those, you'll probably get at least 10 to 20. So if you get 15 people that are like $400, you know, you're talking thousands of dollars instantly from that. So anyway, that's something easy to kind of start out like, cause a lot of times we won't nurture because it's too big of a job, or we feel like it's too big of a job and we just don't want to deal with it. But there are little ways to do it. And that's one way to do it. Obviously people do see text messages. We do answer our text messages typically, and we'll see them before we see our emails. A lot of people don't even check
their email. Hey, John, I love this idea. I did not know about text magic. What is the website? I guess it'd be textmagic.com, maybe.
You know, let me just make sure here. Text magic. Textmagic.com.
Okay, perfect. And you know, I won't mention the company name, but the other company that we recently discussed, I think this would be a better investment than throwing a bunch of money at that, perhaps.
Well, I think they both have their place. So you have one way to acquire new customers and another way to make sure that you're taking care of all of your past customers so they don't go to anyone else, because they are going to have repeat business.
Okay, perfect. And they'll forget you if you haven't serviced them in a while.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's the same, like it's the rule of thumb for anything. Real estate agents, they are horrible at follow up. And so most of them will lose their relationships because they don't nurture them. So I know you're doing some big jobs. What are the services that you're doing that are the most profitable? Is it the roof cleaning, the siding, or what are the ones that make you the most money?
Yeah, so we are not strictly a window cleaning company, as you may have figured out by now. And by the way, you can check us out at gocityview.com. The name of our company is City View Services, CityView. You can check us out at gocityview.com, GOCITYVIEW. And so we are co-branded with a company called Softwash Systems. And soft washing, as you may have heard about, is the environmentally responsible alternative to pressure washing. So we do a lot of window cleaning, yes. But we also specialize in roof and exterior cleaning. So we clean everything from roof shingles. And I'm not just talking about blowing the debris off the roofs, the sticks and the leaves. I'm talking about actually sanitizing and cleaning the roof shingles and conditioning them and extending the life of the roof. We do that chemical treated, of course. We clean siding, concrete, awnings, all any type of surface you can think, decks, fences, all that stuff, right? So what do we make the most money off of? Well, to be perfectly honest with you, all of our surfaces that we soft wash, we charge the same hourly rate. So, you know, if our roof cleaning takes 4 hours, which it doesn't, you know, in a lot of cases, average homes, you know, it might take 2 hours.
Yeah.
But, you know, it kind of depends on the pitch and the accessibility and all that. So a lot of our roofs, we can treat them from the ground. We can put a ladder up near the gutter and just treat it from the gutter line. We don't actually have to walk around on the roofs per se. But anyway, I would say roof cleaning is very, very profitable. siding. I love siding. I love cleaning siding because it just the gunk and the mold, mildew, algae, and fungus that forms on there, yeah. It just peels it off like butter. And I like that quick before and after.
It's very fulfilling. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So what would you say to someone, you know, say someone over in Florida, let's say they want to start a business. They're not sure what to do. What would you tell them? And they're just starting out.
Any business, right?
Window cleaning.
Oh, window cleaning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So we have someone, let's say someone's watching this and they want to start a business. It could be Florida, it could be Texas, it could be anywhere. And they're thinking about window cleaning, power washing, roof cleaning, like what should I do first? What would you tell them?
I would tell them, you know, considering the fact that they probably don't have a ton of money to throw at it. Okay. I'm just assuming you may, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Let's just start bootstrap method.
Yeah. I would say focus on building up your commercial storefronts.
Yeah.
Because those are going to pay you weekly, biweekly, monthly. You know, you can start building up that clientele.
Yeah.
And get that base going. And then I would say add on top of that with the residential side. Because here's the thing. Whenever you're doing commercial storefronts, the people that run these businesses, they have homes that they live in. So they're, once you build trust with them,
that's right,
they're going to have you at their home.
Yeah.
And vice versa. When you work at people's homes, if they have businesses or they have friends that have businesses or they go to a church with or family or whatever, they will refer you.
Yeah.
That is how I started. That is how I started. I went from strictly cleaning windows to adding all these other things just because people trusted me and they needed it done. Like I had no intention of ever touching a pressure washer. But you know what? When that dirty concrete patio is staring you in the face and you're like, you know what? I can do that. I will definitely cash that check. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I will do it. And all of a sudden you get comfortable with it. You get some training, you buy a few extra tools. All of a sudden you're in a pressure washing business. Well,
and you're serving your client the best too, because your client doesn't have to go out and find someone that they don't know about, they don't trust, and they already have that trust with you. And so you're just making their life easier. And we've heard it said that the more value you give, the more you get paid. And mm-hmm. So obviously you up your value over time, you're doing that. So as a follow-up to someone who wants to actually start a window cleaning business, let's say that person has now been in business for a while and they're making $250K a year. Okay, what would you now tell them as far as now they want to take their company to the next level? They're making money, they're not broke, but they want to get to where you're at. Okay. So what would you tell them to take it to the next level? Maybe just double their company to where you're at.
Okay. I didn't hear the first part. Did you say that they're doing point, they're doing windows?
And So now they're doing window cleaning, power washing. Now they're doing it $250,000 a year, but they want to double, they want to up their game. What would you tell them to actually do to get there the fastest?
Yeah. Okay. So I would say maybe hire another person or two to duplicate the efforts of what you already know. You know, that's possible. You know, you can, I mean, I would just, it depends on the direction they want to go. Like not everybody's comfortable with starting a whole new entire service.
But if they want to double their current window cleaning,
okay. I mean,
couldn't they just go to Postcard Mania and
spend
$4,000 and make $20,000?
So one of my mentors, Grant Cardone, he says it best like this: money follows attention. So what that means is you need to market yourself heavy. You know, you double up on those marketing efforts, because the more attention you get, the money follows that.
Yeah.
Period. I hope I answered your question, but marketing has been make it or break it for me, because I outmarket all my competition. There's guys around
here. Super important. Super important.
Yeah. there's people around here who've been washing windows two or three times longer than I have. I know, for example, there's a father-son team. They're quite a bit older than me. They've been doing it for a long time, and they can't even like we've cornered the market here because we market.
Yeah. Yeah. And the more you do that, the more you'll dominate. And people don't realize, but even during when things were bad during the Depression, there were companies who were marketing, there were companies who stopped marketing, and the companies that marketed, they got through the Depression and then they literally skyrocketed and they became these conglomerates because they spent the time and the money building up the momentum. So marketing in bad times as well as good times is super important. And most people will stop it during the bad times and they'll wait it out. And that's the wrong strategy. That is the wrong thing to do.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the statistics are, but new startups, what's the numbers on this? The failure new
startups. Rate? Well, so in the first 5 years, like 80% of them fail.
Yeah. And the way to flip that is marketing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So I got one last question for you, Tyrone.
Sure.
Okay. I know you've got two kids. You're just recently married. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
There are people listening or that will listen to this that also have families. And mm-hmm. some of them might be thinking about taking the leap and they might be nervous, might be scared. And so what I would ask you is if you lost it all, you lost your window cleaning business, it's gone completely. Okay. You still got your kids though, and you got your wife. And you had to get it all up to $10,000 a month in 60 days. What would you do?
That's a loaded question. An excellent question. Never thought about it, but, just bear with me while I brainstorm because, I would most definitely stay in this industry. This industry has been really good to me. $10,000 a month in 60 days.
Oh, and you got a credit card, by the way. I'll let
okay.
you.
Okay. All right, we got a credit card.
You got a credit card, and you got your knowledge. You know how to get this in quick, and you're like, I got a family support. I need to make this work. What's your go-to? You got to get some money coming in. What would you do?
Do I have tools? Do I get to keep my tools?
Sure, you got tools. The tools don't even cost that much anyways. I mean, people can get mop and squeegee for 50 bucks.
Yeah, yeah. We got some pretty awesome tools. They're expensive.
Oh, somehow. I know. But let's just say, someone's starting out and they're like, all right, I need to get income. Need to get this 10K a month in 60 days.
Yeah. So I would just, first of all, do the math. Okay. So if I had 60 days, let me just pull out my calculator if you don't mind. 10K, 60 days. So, I mean, that's like $166 a day if you do 10 divide 10,000 by 60. But basically, I would just focus on my residential because residential tends to pay higher tickets than the commercial storefronts. So I would focus on maybe trying to assemble a crew of maybe one or two helpers. And I would probably try to get two houses a day. You know, I would try to do maybe 10 houses a week. That would definitely get you there.
Would you turn on the Postcard Mania and drop $2,500 to get 10 grand in?
You know, you asked me this question last minute. I would really have to do some more research to answer that truthfully. But just off the top of my head, you know, I would just be focused on residential. I would really have to crunch the numbers to know what I would really do.
Yeah.
But I would think that residential would be the way to go. I would basically start out. I would start out exactly how I started 13 years ago. I would hit the streets. I probably wouldn't even spit if I knew that I was like flat broke all over again. I would not spend a bunch of money on postcards right now. I would hit the streets, get my face out there, get my name out there, build some trust and get some things moving. Because I actually believe in myself and I believe in my ability to sell things. So you can't take that away from anybody. You can take all their money, but if you know how to sell, you can have anything in the world. All the you can have the pretty girl, you know, you can have the, if you know how to sell, you can have whatever you want.
That's right. All right. Good advice. Well, this has been the Window Cleaning Success Podcast. Tyrone, thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate it. I know everyone else that is listening and will listen, appreciate your words of wisdom. So,
hey, thank you. Been a pleasure. Look, I'm glad to work with you. Thanks for the opportunity.